Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Matt Bosher will hold. Josh Harris will snap. On the far hash mark, so a right to left angle for the veteran Bryant. Snap spot. Try is away, and it is good. Here's Keenum on a straight drop. He's hit and then threw it at the feet. Intended for out in the flat ham, but Grady Jarrett blasted it. They split Rudolph to the right. Now McKinnon in a slot. Keenum drops into the gun. Bell is to the left. Keenum going to push it to the right. Throw for the end zone. Caught McKinnon. The Minnesota touchdown. Here is Bryant. This will be 36 from the middle of the field. On the left hash. Snap spot. Try is away. And Bryant bangs it through. Keenum in the gun. We're under 5 minutes to play. First half. 7-6 game for Minnesota. Third down. Keenum wants to throw. And he's sacked. And tack. Got him. Woo. On the far hash mark. So a left to right angle for Matt Bryant. To put Atlanta in front with practically 3 minutes gone in this second half. Snap, spot, try from Bryant is away, and it is good. Second down and goal, and now McKinnon will move left to right with McKinnon in the backfield. Keenum on a straight drop, shoots it for Rudolph. Wide open, touchdown Minnesota. 5:03 to go. Snap, spot, try away from Matt Bryant. And the kick is no good. Pulled it to the left, so Bryant misses for the fourth time this year, and with 4:58 to go, Minnesota will get the ball back. The Vikings have beaten the Falcons for the third straight time. 14-9 is the final.
Really thought we had a good week of preparation in terms of the game plan and how to execute it, and I thought that part of the week went according to plan. So for us to have that disappointing of a night on third down, I'm anxious to watch that tonight and find out, because we had hit our stride in a number of spots, especially on third down. So for us to take a step back, we've got to make that up, you know, moving forward.
It was a step back on a Falcons Monday, and welcome to the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons Monday brought to you by Xfinity. When it comes to the entertainment that you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. Well, that was not exactly what we had hoped for, and now the Falcons find themselves in a position where really they pretty much have to win out in order to make the playoffs here. This is a tough loss in a lot of ways, Hugh Douglas. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah, I'm a little I'm torn, because I was listening to the post-game show yesterday. Shout out to Mike Conti and DJ Shockley. They were breaking it down, and they said some very, very they made some very, very good points. You know, this is not the end of the world. The Falcons are still in the hunt. And that, you know, when you look at them as a whole, for them to have patchwork secondary the way that they had, to only give up 14 points, that was big. And they're right, because normally going into a game, when your defense is at full strength, you don't want to give up more than 17 points. They gave up 14 points. That's a huge plus. But the thing that has me torn is that we're at the time of the year where, there are no excuses. Everybody has injuries or something that they're dealing with, and you have to find ways to win football games. To be held to 9 points against a really good defense, I get it. Minnesota, hats off to them. Case Keenum, the way that he played 25-30 yesterday, he looked good. I mean, you know, I was not giving him his props yesterday before he came into this game. Give him his props now. But you have to find a way to win that game. You have to just find a way to win that game. So I'm a little torn right now.
Well, I want to try and spin this any way I can. And after the game, I mentioned on Twitter, I said, well, you know, the Falcons lost a tough game to a good team at home and fell to 7-5. But enough about last year. That's exactly the same place they were last year when they lost to Kansas City at home in that pick two from Eric Berry. They were 7-5. However, here's, you know, a couple of differences. One is your schedule going forward includes no less than two games against Stinky Town, including Thursday night, and you'd better be ready, okay? And the second thing is that you were not pressured so much last year to have to win out. Right now, if you go 3-1, you subject yourself to that wild card lottery. And worse than that, is I'm not really sure what I saw yesterday. All of what we see in the three-game win streak against Dallas, Seattle, and Tampa said this offense was back. There was no light. One red trip zone. The deepest penetration they got was the 17-yard line.
Yeah, you're talking about, you're playing against a good team on third down. They put a lot of pressure on the quarterback yesterday. But to the offensive line's credit, no sacks. No sacks against a good defensive line. Against a defensive line that came into the game across the board had 22.5 sacks. So you didn't give up any sacks yesterday. Unfortunate thing is quarterback didn't throw any touchdowns either. They're not throwing any touchdowns. So you got to figure out – you got to play better. And I think part of that is because – you know, going on Twitter last night and watching some of, you know, the post-game stuff yesterday, everybody's talking about Xavier Rhodes and how he shut Julio down. Xavier Rhodes played well. To say that he shut him down – I would say he played well, not taking anything away from him, but to shut him down, I mean, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. I think you got to figure out a way to get the ball to Julio a lot more than you do.
No kidding. I mean, I was kind of hoping they would put, you know, there was no wildcat yesterday. There were no really jet sweeps to Julio. There was, you know, put the ball in his hands, you know, get him moving, you know, heck, flip it to him, let him throw it. Anything that was like, anything, go.
You have to, you got to figure out a way to get the ball to your playmakers. And I did not have – only problem I had probably with the play calling yesterday was the fact that it bared no fruit. I mean, that's the thing that I would probably have the biggest issue with. I can't sit up here and pinpoint or say, well, he shouldn't have did this play or he shouldn't have did that play. I just wanted you to score. That's where I would probably have a problem with. It just bared no fruit.
Would you have gone for it on fourth down?
What was that? The fourth and what? What was it?
Fourth and four.
Fourth and four.
5 minutes to go in the game.
You look at it, John, and they Minnesota was going on some long drives, long sustained drives. Yeah, I probably would have went. Yeah, I'd have went for that.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, for that. Yeah, you played conservative. It just seemed like you. Here's my thing: is that you have to dictate what when the Falcons were really good last year, they dictated to other teams. Yesterday, they let Minnesota dictate to them. They got into a fist fight, the exact kind of game that Minnesota wanted to play. Slug it out, stand in the middle of the ring. That's what they are. And the Falcons, you know, it was like I wanted them to go up tempo. I wanted them to do, you know, throw some trick plays, do something when it became obvious that they were having trouble moving the ball. Shake it up a little bit. And they didn't. They just kind of stayed with what, you know, we're going to stay with what we got. Okay, well, that ain't working so much. Do something else.
Again, I think it bared no fruit in the end zone. You know, I think that there were times where, you know, the Falcons ran the ball well. It just – they bogged down. They weren't good on third down. That's the biggest thing. What would you say it was, Wendy, 1-for-10 on third down?
They were 1-for-10 on third down, but they also hurt themselves with penalties.
Penalties early. Like,
holding penalties, the block in the back by Jake Matthews. I mean, they put themselves in bad positions on third down. So, they were essentially third and long.
You know what? You know what I look at this game and see? I see a mirror image of – the Atlanta Falcons, where, you know, a talented team, they play mistake-free football. That's what it is. And when you're playing a good team, mistakes kill you. Minnesota, they didn't come in here and light it up. They didn't come in here and beat you down. If anything, they won the time of possession game. They won that because they had the ball for like 30, 35 minutes. And that's what hurt you. Again, the only problem that I have with the plays yesterday were that they did not score any points. They didn't get anything out of them. You relied too heavily on your kicker. You relied too heavily on Matt Bryan. You relied too heavily on him. And you tried to get him to bail you out of some situations. You are a high-powered, prolific offense. You have to get the ball in your hand of your playmakers. And that's the issue that I had. I think that – who was I talking to? I was talking to Jamie this morning, and Jamie was saying that one of the producers, and he was saying that, listen, Pittsburgh, they forced the ball to Antonio Bryant sometime, even when, you know, he's in double coverage. Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to force feed your best player to get him going. And to me, that's the biggest thing. Like you heard Mohamed Sanu say yesterday, well, on the sideline where they pointed out, give me the ball, give me the ball. you have to – sometimes, man, even if it's not there, sometimes you got to take a chance with the football. And, again, that's not Matt's style. That's not what he does. He takes good care of the football. And you always hear Coach Quinn talk about take care of the football. But it's all hands on deck now. And these games, they all matter. But towards the end, toward this stretch, could have got that win. Should have had that win yesterday.
Vikings win their eighth straight game. They go to 10-2 because the Eagles lost last night. The Vikings wake up this morning as the number one seed in the NFC. The Falcons now out of the playoffs at 7-5, 1-for-10 on third down. Matt Ryan, 173 yards, no touchdowns, snaps a 28-game streak of throwing at least one touchdown. Julio, two catches, 24 yards, and this is where you are. And you're back to kind of square one. I mean, it was just everything. You know, Bo, I know you saw it from your vantage point. That was, you know, the beginning of the season was like all in force here. All the problems you had at the start of the year came roaring back to you just when we thought they had gotten rid of all of those.
Yeah, it reminded me of the Philadelphia game last year. And that's what something Arch and I were talking mm-hmm. about. And we were talking about it after the game before we did our interviews. Because, you know, they ran the ball. Now, I think you ran the ball a little bit better than you did against Philadelphia, but the thing that is, and Arch has talked about this on the broadcast, you're losing on first down. You know, every coach, they always will talk about being on schedule on second and third down. Well, being on schedule is second and six, and then, you know, third and three, something like that. But when you're at second and nine, second and eight, you're only getting 1 to 2 yards, you're losing. And I felt like they lost on first down offensively, and they lost on first down defensively, giving up too many yards on first down to Minnesota.
And we'll hear from Dave Archer coming up at the top of the hour. And he'll break down where the Falcons are. Look, it's a win out or bust. So don't just think about Thursday, and we'll turn our attention pretty quick to the smelly folks coming into town on Thursday night. When we get back, there wasn't all bad news if you're from the area, unless you're an Auburn fan, which you double lost. But at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the college football playoff is set. And we'll take our first crack at breaking that down as we continue on the morning show on a Falcons Monday with John and Hume.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You thought you were alone.
In 1966, fans came from all over the South to see the new NFL team.
You weren't. You thought you'd never see the day.
Atlanta to the Super Bowl.
You did. You believed. Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, John and Hugh on a Falcons Monday. Falcons Monday is brought to you by Xfinity. When it comes to the entertainment you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. Here we go with the college football playoff. And what a game it was, Hugh Douglas, for the Georgia Bulldogs on Saturday, where they went out and just leveled the Auburn Tigers. Let's begin there, and then we'll get into the playoff thing as we go along. A couple of bites after that 28-7 win. Let's start with Coach Smart talking about the game plan for Kerryon Johnson, who obviously wasn't 100% but did play against Auburn, and how to attack them.
Just be honest. I mean, Kerryon was not 100%. He wasn't the same guy he was last game, so that probably helped some as well. But we felt like getting after the quarterback was the way to beat him, and we did that much better this game than we did last game.
Boy, that defense of Georgia rose to the occasion. They were great in that game.
Here. Lorenzo Carter, Roquan Smith. Like, we were talking about it during the game, me and my man Jarvis Davis, and we was like, boy, he played himself, Lorenzo, to a top-five pick. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind he was all over the place. They played well, man. They took it to Auburn. It was a good thing to see, and you kind of knew that's the kind of game that it had to be. And that's the main reason why last week I had a strong feeling. I'm like, man, they're not going to make the same mistakes they made because they matched up well with them. The game just got out of hand, and that's when Georgia started to press a little bit. But when you saw them play their game and play at their pace and keep tempo with Auburn, it was a different animal. It was a totally different animal.
One more from Coach Smart after the game, talking about a conversation he had with no less than former Auburn great, one of the greatest of all time. Bo Jackson, he was talking about having a convo with Bo about that. And
this is crazy, man. This is unbelievable.
Nope, we got a little problem with our little glitch in there, but we'll keep it moving here. The Georgia gets the big win. They ran the ball effectively. I was talking before the game when I was doing, and I know you were down at McCray's as well, Hugh, when I was doing the show with Randy and with John Chuckery, that I had a sneaky feeling, too, that Jake Fromm was going to show out. And they were going to try and load the box to stop the run, and that Fromm was going to be able to hit them. And I don't know if Fromm just destroyed them, but I will say this. I thought Fromm was effective, and I thought he was cool under fire.
16 for 22. I mean, I think they threw it when they had to throw it, John, but they controlled the game. That's what they did. They did a great job of controlling the game. You're talking about all three running backs. Yeah, I said three. DeAndre Swift came in, and he had a nice carry. I tweeted out after that run that he had late in the game that their running game is in good hands with that young man from Philadelphia, because he came in and he ran well. He ran well. Change of pace. That's Georgia's bread and butter right there. That's their bread and butter. You know, Jay Fromm played well when he threw well when he had to. And you look at that, he had two TDs, but when they have to run the ball, that's their bread and butter, and they ran well. Started off with my man Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, toting that rock, and they just kept it going.
Yeah, Sony got a little dinged up in the game. For Nick Chubb, though, a chance to justify the fact that, you know, through all of it, here's the second leading rusher in the history of the SEC behind only Herschel Walker. He went through two major injuries in his career, all the downtime, all of it. And for Nick Chubb, this was the reason that he went through all of that.
It's just crazy, man. Just unbelievable experience. And, I mean, this is why, you know, the guys we came back for. And I remember just talking, like, to the senior class, man, back at camp, man. We were in the room, this little private meeting, and we just kind of talked about what we want to do. And it all paid off. And in this moment right here is what we work for.
Yeah, third time in the history of Georgia, they have 12 wins in a season. Now, there's some news that's not good for Georgia right now, because Natrez Patrick was arrested again, third time. He was arrested again for marijuana. Late Saturday night, says a Barrow County sheriff, it was on Highway 316 there in Barrow County. He pulls over reserve receiver Jason Stanley and Natrez Patrick in a car after on the way home. Said Stanley was driving the car, pulled him over for speeding. Officer smells marijuana coming from the car. Players attempted to throw a bag out the car. They were arrested and released on bond, $1,000. Natrez Patrick, here we go again.
All right. So you said the players.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more than, it was, who else was in the car? Did they
Jason, say? Jason Stanley was driving. So Natrez Patrick was the passenger.
Okay. So Jason Stanley got the pass.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah. So they were arrested and bonded out. So I don't know. We'll see what they make today.
It's not a good look.
Nope.
I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, this is a great time for the Dogs, that something unfortunate like that happens. So yeah, you know, Kirby's probably going to have a heavy hand when it comes to his discipline with this one.
Yeah, you would think that Natrez Patrick, you know, would be out for the Rose Bowl. I mean, third time and second time this year. So at some point, you know, the heavy hand comes down. Plus, aren't there automatic penalties at Georgia in place to some degree? Bo, didn't they have like an automatic penalty of some kind that they were enforcing in Athens?
Well, they're stricter than Georgia's, probably the strictest college in the SEC as far as their penalties. I always thought it was the second offense. You got two games, and third, you got four or something like that. I'll have to re-look it up. But I know that they're a lot tougher than Florida and LSU and some of these other schools. Now, some of that is with when you fail a drug test.
Mm-hmm.
Natrez Patrick hasn't necessarily failed a drug test with this one. He was just caught with it. Or tried to throw it out of the car, whatever. But I have a feeling he might be out for the Rose Bowl and maybe the national championship game if that comes into play. Because This is his third offense and his second of the year.
We have a conversation going right now on our social media this morning, Wendy Adams, on our Facebook and on a Vision Computer Question of the Day.
Absolutely. So, Georgia fans, are you traveling to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl, or are you saving money because you're confident they'll be playing at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the national championship game? So I know this is a question a couple of Georgia fans were talking about yesterday, whether they wanted to spend all the money to head to California or if they were just going to stay here.
All right. I've done a little research this morning. I know.
Okay.
Shocking. The get-in price right now, okay, cheapest ticket you can get at SeatGeek.com. For the Rose Bowl, cheapest seat, $268.
Buy it now.
All right.
It's going to increase.
For the Sugar Bowl, cheapest seat in New Orleans, $291 for the Clemson-Alabama game. For the national title game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, right now, Hugh Douglas, the cheapest seat on SeatGeek, cheapest, $1,900. That's the cheapest seat. They go up to like $4,000.
Yeah, I think the heavy hitters are going to probably go to Pasadena. And then everybody else, like the students and the alum that are from here that, you know, can't take that time off of work because it's the holidays, they're going to wait around for them to come back to the Georgia Dome. I think that's what they're going to do. I talked to some friends of mine that went to Georgia. And it was funny. They asked me, so what do you think we should do? And I'm like, dude, do whatever your pocket allows you to do.
If you're able.
If they try to play in the Georgia Dome, they're just going to play in a pile of rubble. They might want to play next door.
What I meant, semantics. You know what I meant.
He's already starting it.
That may be the only place you can watch the game when the get-in price is $2,000.
I don't mind that about Bo because he keeps me on my toes. But, yeah, you're right, in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But, yeah, they were saying because – You cannot, if you didn't go to Georgia or you went out Saturday night, you cannot fathom how many people were out there tailgating into the wee hours of the morning when the game was over. Like, I was looking at some of my Instagram postings of friends of mine that went to Georgia. They were out there lit, as the kids say. They were lit. They were so happy. There are some women, young ladies that are going to work today that don't know that they're probably with child right now. What? It's the truth. That was a joyful moment for Georgia this weekend. And there were a lot of people partying. Everywhere that I went, I saw people excited about the win, about winning an SEC championship. So it's safe to say that there are going to be some kids next year around this time named Kirby, Jake Fromm, and probably some Nick Chubbs. It's going to be some Nicks, some Sonys. Who else?
Swift.
Don't forget DeAndre Swift.
DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
It's going to be some Roquan. DeAndre.
Some Mecoles.
I'm just saying, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. I even saw some Georgia Bulldog fans who had the same shirt on that they had on Friday. Like, and they were proud of the fact that they were still wearing their shirts. And I saw some salty Auburn fans. Some super salty Auburn fans. As a matter of fact, we were at McCrae's, two young ladies, Auburn fans. They were so salty that we were on the patio. And, you know, it was like me, Jarvis, and a couple other big fellas that were Georgia fans. They walked through us, like pushed us out the way to walk through just because they were upset. And when everybody kind of looked at them like, okay, you know, they started trash talking like they were ready to fight. And it was really disturbing because these were two young ladies and you know, you see me and Jarvis together and then three other big dudes. We're not little, but they were that upset. So it was a little disturbing.
You should have wrestled with her.
No, I don't. You know, in this day and age, I don't think that would have been a smart move. I don't think that would have been smart.
Hey, I'm thinking, talking about, sir.
If you really wanted to go to the Rose Bowl, it might be cheaper to go to the Rose Bowl and buy a ticket for that game now.
Hold on a second.
No, wait a second.
Hold on.
I'm looking on Kayak right now, and if you're really, really willing to go, Spirit Airways, you can get $1,300 round trip.
Okay, first off, we looked at a reputable airline. It was round trip, leave on a Saturday and come home on a Tuesday morning. Just to get in the main cabin, it was $1,700. I'd pay the extra $400 instead of flying to California.
And then with Spirits, you got to do all of these different fees and whatnot.
Yeah.
Nah, don't do that.
You're looking at $1,600 with the baggage fees, right?
Yeah, don't do that.
All right, American 920. 920 if you leave on Sunday, come back Tuesday through DFW. 920. That's a lot of money, I know. Trust me, it's a lot of cash. Well, today's a Falcons Monday, and a great Falcons Monday, but there'll be a better Falcons Thursday, I have a feeling. We'll tell you what else today is when we continue on the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, gas, no break.
Everything that happened on the field.
We are underway.
Is being rehashed right here all day. This is Falcons Monday. Our Atlanta Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What you got, little mama? Show me what you got, pretty lady. Show me what you got, darling. Show me what you got, baby.
Today is a Falcons Monday. Today is a chance for you to save $90 at Kauffman Tire because the Falcons scored in three quarters yesterday. Field goals in each, as you know. But you can save $90 off a set of four new tires today only at Kauffman Tire. You can visit and find the Kauffman Tire retailer nearest you at kauffmantire.com. Well, Wendy Adams, today is
Jay-Z's birthday, which is what Daryl bumped in with, was Jay-Z, who turns 48 years old today. So happy birthday to Jay-Z. Also, Tyra Banks, 44 years old today. Our favorite sports broadcaster of all time, and I say that with so much sarcasm in my voice, Skip Bayless.
Skip.
66 today.
Is he going to argue about that? Is he going to fight himself? Is he going to, like,
he may
send mean, stupid tweets about being 66?
Skip believes what he's saying.
He does.
I will tell you that.
I don't know if he believes what he's saying.
No, Wendy, he believes what he's saying. It's not a troll, because I asked him one time, and he looked at me straight in the face and said, yeah, I do. Like, some of the stuff he says, I'm like, wow. But to be who he is and to do what he does, you just can't go out there pretending to believe some of that stuff that he spits. So he believes it. He definitely believes it.
I always say, like, when I see Skip Bayless tweet something, because he doesn't follow anybody on Twitter and he has everybody following him, I'm like, oh, here's another, you know, crazy tweet from Skip because he needs attention. I think he said something about Julio Jones a couple of days ago, and I just rolled my eyes. I'm like, he needs attention.
Well, that's not actually 100% true, Wendy. He doesn't follow anyone from his main account, but he has his second account where he follows his main account and then compliments himself on what he does. So while you are correct, he does have
a sock puppet,
a alternate account, an alias account where he will tweet at his main account.
What's the ad on that? Do you know?
I have to go back and look at it, but
that's correct.
But he has done it where what he's done is he's made a mistake of the verbiage he used where he admitted that that was him.
Hilarious.
He sent this tweet yesterday, and I literally rolled my eyes. He said, since Julio came into the league, Antonio Brown has led NFL in catches, yards, catches for first downs, and yards after catch. Julio looks the part, but AB plays the part. Mentally tougher, more clutch, plays bigger.
From his perspective.
God bless him.
His perspective, that's what he sees. But think about it like this, though, Wendy. How many people do you see on a daily basis that look at the game and watch it differently than you watch it?
It's true.
And that's Skip. Because I was tweeting with somebody yesterday, Xavier Rhodes shut Julio down. Shut him down. Now he was against him 95% of the time, he shut him down. Xavier Rhodes played well. No question about that. He played well. But Julio was only targeted 6 times. Mm-hmm. And he only got 2 catches. So that, to me, does not sound like a lockdown day. That sounds more like a 50-50 day, maybe.
Well, one thing that I try to remember, 60-40. Because I get very in my feelings at times about what these people say, is the national guys, they don't watch all the games, okay? They can't. So a lot of times they're at games, they're covering.
But local people don't either.
But no, they don't. They know that. Oh, I've called quite a few people out in this local market for not watching the games. If you read a stat line, you can take it and go anywhere you want with it. And that's what the Skip Baylesses of the world do. So if you're going to comment and really try to break down a player or a game, I would advise you to go back and watch their games.
And not only that, just like I said, there's times where Ben forces the ball to Antonio Brown. And it's not like teams aren't trying to cover Antonio Brown. Ben Roethlisberger, that's his go-to guy. And, you know, last year a lot, Coach Shanahan told you flat out, we're getting Julio the ball. Has it been so much that this year? Mohamed Sanu has emerged as a really good player, and they're trying to spread the ball around a little bit more. But listen, Julio is the bell cow. There should, if I'm quarterbacking, at least 10 of my throws, like every time I drop back to throw, he's my number one priority. But that's not how Coach Sark wants to do this. He wants to kind of mix it up a little bit, but Julio is that guy that he has to. I would give him the ball every down.
Well, let's move on to what today is, because I think this will be a fun debate in the room. Today is National Cookie Day.
Cookies
and chocolate chip. I'm sure. No, oatmeal raisin is clearly the best out of all.
It's please.
I didn't even get it out your mouth good. No. And it was started.
Wait a second. Oatmeal. You're the one who wanted to kill the oatmeal cream pie thing.
Oatmeal cream pies are different because that is a disgusting filling in the middle.
Wendy, you don't have a say. I'm sorry. But, you're my homegirl, so but no. No, no.
Raisin cookies.
I like how he says with the smooth voice.
I'm with Switzerland. No. I'm with Switzerland.
Don't call me Switzerland. My name is Daryl Ashurst. That's what my mother named me.
Oatmeal raisins and
Daryl
white...
Switzerland Ashurst.
I'm going to fight
oatmeal raisins
you.
And then those white fudge Oreos that they only sell around the holidays.
Yeah, funny.
Best cookies ever, hands down.
Chocolate chip.
Wendy, stop.
Chocolate chip. Only chocolate chip.
I'm not going to stop. Can't stop, won't stop.
I'm team. I'm rolling with Fricky and team chocolate chip all the way.
Chocolate chip. Only chocolate chip. Everything else is a poor second.
Yeah.
Sugar cookies are a poor second?
Yeah.
They are?
Yep.
I don't know about,
those are just chocolate chip cookies without the chocolate chips.
Macadamia nuts.
Macadamia nuts are a poor second?
John, I like the chocolate chip cookies with M&M's in them, too. It's like the best of every world possible.
Yeah, but that gets a little gooey and runny, and, you know, my mom would make those, and it was like, maybe she just didn't make them right. They turned out kind of like,
I don't want to say anything bad about your mother, but I don't think she made them right.
She's a priest, don't.
Would you guys like this kind of cookie? Because I know you guys all said chocolate chip is the best kind of cookie, which I disagree. But Cinnabon.
It is.
Cinnabon is rolling out a new cookie today, so It's called the Cookie Bon Bite. So it's a mini cinnamon roll baked into a chocolate chip cookie. And they're releasing it today for National
Cookie. I would try that. I would try that.
So it's a cinnamon roll inside of a chocolate chip cookie.
I would try that.
It sounds a little much.
It does sound a little much, but I would try it.
It sounds a lot much.
I would try it. That's all I would do. I'm not making any promises. I would just try it.
You should try it today and then fill us in on.
I'm not going to go to Cinnabon today. I'm not going to the mall today. It's just not on my agenda.
Well, if it's a cookie, it's probably in the grocery store, correct? Or is it at Cinnabon?
It's at Cinnabon.
Oh, no. I'm definitely not going to Cinnabon. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to Cinnabon.
Let's stop.
No, the mall is packed. The mall is packed. Come on now. The mall is packed.
Well, maybe around lunchtime, but if you go right when we get done with work, I think you're safe.
Do you know, like, speaking of the Pac Mall, side note, that at the Bed Bath & Beyond, they had, like, a three-wick candle that they had that
awesome.
People were standing in line for.
Duh.
A three-wick candle?
Those things are expensive on the normal.
Wait, you can light it and it'll last 3 weeks lit?
Three-wick candle.
All three wicks, yeah. Oh.
What is so fascinating about a three-wick candle?
Because it lasts Dawson's a long time, Creek. And there's more scent. You get more scent.
It's not to be standing in line waiting on one.
Sure
no,
is.
It's not.
How inexpensive is that candle?
It looks pretty expensive, but still, I ain't standing in line.
If it's on sale, man.
Falcons fall to the Vikings. What does Arch think about what he saw yesterday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and where we stand now? We'll get Arch's thoughts next on a Falcons Monday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.